It's time once again for a chat with the ethicist. Randy Cohn writes the ethicist column for the New York Times Magazine, and he joins us here every couple weeks in the studio to answer your ethical queries. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Jackie. I hope they're going to be suitable summer queries, you know, easy ones, not too morally complicated. It's the end of summer, and we're all, you know, kind of sweaty here.
Dog days of August queries.
Yeah, easy ones, vacation ones.
Well, in fact, we have a question from Loretta Jeffries of State College, Pennsylvania. This is a question that concerns a will. She writes, "In 1997, my oldest brother wrote his will and left nearly everything to me. After he wrote the will, he asked me to promise that I would give nothing to our siblings. I promised, thinking in my mind that I would give a share to their kids and they could give it to their parents. Both my brothers have now died, and we're settling the oldest brother's will. My one remaining sister says that if my brother didn't want her to have anything, she wouldn't feel right accepting it. I told her that now that Buddy is passed to the other side, he sees things differently, and he wouldn't resent her having something. Plus, once the will is settled and the proceeds are mine, aren't I free to give what I want to whom I wish? Well, settling this from the other side, that seems like a reach even for the ethicist, Randy."
It's a tough one. I believe that she should keep her promise to her brother, although she's quite correct that ordinarily when someone gives you a gift, it is indeed yours to do with whatever you wish. You can give it to the detested relatives or squander it on liquor and cigarettes. It's yours. But in this case, she had made a promise, and she made that promise again and again, and I think that promise has to count for something. To cavalierly ignore a promise, I think, diminishes the trust that we all rely on if we're to live socially among one another. And in this sense, I think the sister's instincts are excellent. You know, what the brother might have done, if he was so determined, was to put his concerns into the will itself. Then it would not be ambiguous.
So that he should really have written, "I want to give something to everyone except for Jane."
He made his desires clear, and Loretta Jeffries agreed again and again to honor his wishes. And I think she is bound by that promise.
Well,
you know, it may be that death has made the brother a forgiving man. She might be right about that. But we don't really know, do we? I mean, that's another one of the downsides of death. I mean, who knows? Maybe it made him angrier. We just don't know. So that unless she gets some actual message, you know, from beyond the grave, you know, registered mail where you have to sign for it, I think she really should. She can't assume that she knows how this experience has transformed her.
I was about to haul out the crystal ball, but instead, let's ask Loretta Jeffries to join us. She's on the line now. Hi there, Loretta.
Hi there. How are you?
What did you think of Randy's advice in our...
Well, it's more complicated than that, because...
Always is.
After my brother got ill, my sister called him to express her concern, and at that time they had a long conversation, and he apologized for anything he might have said in the past to offend her, which was plenty, by the way. She really was blameless in this. And at the end, though, I mean, she was the one that insisted that he come to be near family before he died in a nursing home. I was willing to leave him back in his home state, which was miles away from anyone. But she was really more of a caretaker for him and, you know, concerned for his best interest in many ways than I was. So it's not, I mean, I'm not sure that he died angry and feeling the same way he did when he said that.
It's boy, I absolutely grant you that for untangling these kind of long-running family feuds is really, really difficult for an outsider like me. And without being there and really knowing all the nuances and the emotions are very, very complicated, it's hard for me to pass any judgment at all on the nature of the quarrel. But it's a little less hard to have an opinion about your promise. You did promise him over and over again, as you said. And that, I think, you're bound by. And if near the end of his life he changed his mind, unless he said that to someone, ideally to you, in an unambiguous way, I'm not so sure he did release you from your promise.
Well, now the other thing is, we don't need his money. I mean, I've told him that for years. And once the money is in my account, how can I distinguish what is my money and what is his money? If I end up giving my sister some money, how do I know that that was his money and not mine?
Oh, absolutely true. That once you've once the money's yours and it just all goes into the pot and you decide to take your sister out to dinner, do you say, oh, no, I'm betraying my promise? No, absolutely not. But you do know what your kind of pattern of life with your sister was and what you tended to give and what level of generosity you tended to offer. And I'm a little skeptical because you'd worked out this kind of maneuver where you were going to give the money to the kids and they were going to give it to her, that in ethics, intent counts. And if your intent here is to find a cunning way around your promise, then that's not so honorable. But if you just wish to continue in your same level of generosity with your sister, that's entirely fine.
Well, thank you very much
for
joining us today, Loretta.
All right, thanks very much. And that wasn't the answer I wanted, but I'll consider it seriously. Thank you.
If you have a question for the ethicist, write to us at watc@npr.org and put the word ethics in the subject line. Thanks for joining us, Randy.
Yes, I enjoyed it too.